Okay, well, poor Alan. So Alan Bergman just hobbled on stage, so we were happy you made it. Alan joined the Walt Disney Company in 1996, was named president of the Walt Disney Studios in 2005. And as president of the Walt Disney Studios, Alan is responsible for the distribution of the studio's motion pictures across theatrical exhibition, home entertainment, pay TV, digital, and other new media windows. He also oversees franchise management and other studio operations. In our view, Disney is just at the beginning stages of its branded content strategy. So it's a real pleasure to have Alan here today. I am amazed that you made it with that leg. So thank you so much.
Sure. Good to be here.
My God, it felt
I don't have to think about it for the next 40 minutes. So.
Okay. So Disney Studios has certainly evolved into one of the most enviable content platforms over the years. And there are many here today that are looking forward to your upcoming slate. So before we get into the specifics, looking longer term, what are your key priorities for the Disney Studios? And what, if anything, needs to evolve in your theatrical and home entertainment businesses to ensure that Disney maintains its strong positioning?
Well, our number one priority is to make quality movies that people want to see around the world. I mean, that by far is the most important thing. And those movies are going to be branded Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Lucas. And those are exactly the kind of brands that lend themselves to the tentpole movies we want to make. So in any given year, you can expect 2 to 3 animated movies coming from Pixar and Disney Animation, 2 Marvel movies, 1 Star Wars movie, and then 2 to 3 Disney live action movies of the tentpole size, and then 2 to 3 smaller movies. And I brought one slide just so you can see our fiscal year 15 and fiscal year 16 slates. They kind of lay out as I just described. And the beauty of these kind of movies is that when they work, they ripple through the rest of the company and they lift the entire company. So for example, Frozen. Obviously, Frozen was a huge hit at the box office, generating almost $1.3 billion. It's the number one animated movie of all time, the number 5 movie of all time. But more than that, it's our number one home entertainment title in 10 years. It's the biggest Blu-ray title ever. It's the biggest electronic sell-through title ever. The album was number one for 13 weeks.
It's still the top 10.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I can't believe it.
It drove huge merchandise sales at our stores and licensing merchandise. Anna and Elsa are the number one thing to see at our theme parks. Anna and Elsa are in our Disney Infinity game. And we are developing a Frozen stage play. So you can see when we get it right what it means to the company. And we think this is what sets our studio apart.
Are there any emerging technologies or business models that you're particularly focused on these days?
Yes, we're really focused on digital ownership. Obviously, you know, the last 5 or 6 years, the physical, the DVD business has been down substantially, declining about 8 to 10% annually. And we've seen some nice growth in digital ownership. Year to date, it's up running about 37%. For the category as a whole. And you know, at Disney, we try to use technology to offer our consumers the best experience. So back in February, we launched a new platform called Disney Movies Anywhere. And what this allows you to do is purchase, manage your Disney, your Pixar, and your Marvel films. And you can watch them on the go, you can watch them at home. We did a deal with iTunes. They're obviously the biggest player in this space. We already have 4.5 million app downloads. But our goal is interoperability. So we want people to be able to buy a movie where they want and watch it where they want. So we're in the process of doing deals or negotiating deals with other companies, and we'll see how that goes over the next year or so.
Right. You mentioned the Frozen play. What's the timing of that?
We don't know yet. We're developing it. Okay. We're just, you know, it's in the development process. But I think we have very high hopes for that. It obviously, given the music, lends itself to Broadway.
And you just announced a Frozen attraction at Epcot.
That's right. So you can see how Frozen is everywhere at Disney.
Okay. The U.S. box office growth has largely been driven over the last, largely price-driven over the last few years. Admissions have been flat-ish at best. What is your outlook for domestic box office growth? if any growth.
No, you're right. I mean, it's been rough in terms of growth. The last several years has been flattish. And if you look at this year, year to date, the box office is down 6%, and the summer was down 15%. But that being said, if you look at Disney's performance, it's a different story. Guardians of the Galaxy is the number one movie of the year, just crossed $300 million. Our number two movie of the year is Captain America, and the number five movie of the year is Maleficent. So we have three of the top five movies. So in an environment like this, we think our branded tentpole strategy is working pretty well.
And it's just it seems like just the beginning.
That's right, if you look at that slate.
Yeah. Just an industry question, though, but do you think that the industry efforts to improve the movie-going experience will drive admissions, the frequency of admissions higher? So things like the reseating of theaters, reservation systems, alcohol availability, would you think that will help overall industry efforts?
Well, we see it as a partnership between the studios and exhibition. We have to figure out a way to make great movies that get people off their couches and their chairs into their cars and drive to a theater. The theater owners need to make sure when people get there that the experience is great. So the seating, the sound, the picture, and I know they're working very hard on that. So I think if we both hold up our bargain, we'll be in good shape.
Yeah. Given that your films cater generally, not all of them, but toward families, do you view the all-you-can-eat SVOD platforms like Netflix as competition for the family of four, given where pricing is today, especially in the major markets for theaters?
Yeah, well, it's really for us the big branded tentpole movies, and we believe they're much broader than just family. And if you look at the numbers that we've been talking about, to make $300-400 million, you're talking about a movie that crosses over much more than family. And we want these movies to be seen in a theater. We think that that's the best place to see these movies. And in addition to that, as I mentioned with Frozen, the sell-through stats, a lot of our titles are big sell-through titles. So there's certainly windows for all of our different movies, and we manage them very closely.
Right. Well, theatrical obviously still sets the
tone. That's right.
But with the further, we just saw that slide, which is so impressive. But obviously, your next year or two or three look pretty strong with Avengers 2, Star Wars 7, et cetera, et cetera. So how should we think about your opportunity to improve film rental rates with the exhibitors in fiscal 16 or fiscal 17?
Yeah, no doubt that is a slide that our team has shared with exhibition. They're well aware of what we have upcoming. And also, our team spends time with them in terms of how we've done the last couple of years. And I think that we have a deal that is fair for both sides. So fair for us in terms of what we're bringing them, and I think they believe it's fair as well.
So status quo, is what you're saying?
We're good with the negotiation we have, yes.
Okay. International markets are an increasingly important source of demand for your theatrical product. Can you update us on what you're seeing in some of the key emerging markets, such as China?
Yeah, there's no question international is the growth area for the studios, and China is obviously the biggest component of that. In 2012, their box office was $2.7 billion. Last year in 2013, it was $3.6, and this year it's going to be well over $4 billion. They're by far the biggest international market with over 20,000 screens already, and they're building like 18 screens a day. So, but the beauty is that the kind of movies that we're making, as I showed on that slide there, these are movies that play everywhere. And if you look at what Captain America 2 has done, if you look at what Iron Man has done, and a number of our other movies, they love these movies in China, so we feel really good about where we are in China and the other emerging markets.
How important is it for you to develop localized productions in these markets?
Well, in China, given the size of the marketplace now and where it's going, and then approximately half of it is local, it is important. And to that end, earlier this year, we entered into a deal with the Shanghai Media Group. We're developing a number of projects with them with the hope of delivering movies in the future. And additionally, in a country like India, for example, we own a company called UTV, which is a major player in the movie business. So. It's definitely important, but we don't want to take our eye off the ball. The most important thing is making great movies here that play around the world.
Right. On the cost side, both you and the industry have moved to rein in costs during the Great Recession. Talent deals still seem to be much more reasonable, more stable. Cost seem to be, I don't want to say flat, but, you know, like maybe modestly up over the last few years. Things don't seem to be out of control like they've been in cycles before. So can you help us think about how, you know, about for Disney specifically, but your margins going forward, and how your branded content strategy affects your production and marketing? Obviously everybody knows what a Marvel movie is, so how does that affect how much you spend, how you think about the market?
Right. What we do is, before we greenlight any movie, we spend a lot of time putting together an individual P&L, trying to get the required return that we want. And our goal is to make great movies that, for each individual movie, have strong returns. And if we do that, the margins will be strong. It's hard to predict any given year because as products go through their different windows, they have different margins. So you're going to have variability from year to year. But I think great movies result in great margins. And I think if you look at our margins, you'll see that that's exactly the case.
Yeah. It's hard to not see them trending up for you guys. But are there any other like cost-saving opportunities from a fixed cost perspective? It feels like the industry, we did a deep dive yesterday on film, but it feels like as you shift to digital on home entertainment, there should be fairly significant cost savings.
You know, one of the areas that we spend a lot of time is just costs in general, whether it be fixed costs or production costs or marketing costs, variable costs. It's really important that we have our arms around that because it is a difficult business and we need to be as effective and as efficient as possible. So we are continually looking at all of these areas. We don't just do it once a year or when some new technology comes out. It's an ongoing process and we're continually making changes. So, it's continually focus, reduce costs where we can.
Maybe going to your very unique strategy, the branded content strategy, how do you think about marketing? Do you see media mix changing? Because your films have such, I don't want to say defined, I mean, they're pretty broad, but you know, it's this family, this action, I mean, you,
right.
So your marketing is seems to be, I don't know how to say this, but it's your production and marketing. Your brands mean something to different people. I mean, they're very specific. You know what you're getting when you get a Disney movie. It's quality family, you know. So how do you think about the marketing mix given your brands over time?
You know, there's no question. That is definitely a key topic at the studio. We spent a lot of time on that. The mix itself has definitely swung more towards digital, you know, away from, you know, newspapers and those kind of things, with the goal being as efficient, as effective as possible. It's hard to really say on any given movie because they obviously vary, depends mm-hmm. what the competition is, if it's new IP, if it's a sequel, who's in it, if we're tracking or not. But it's constant focus on our marketing dollars because they're substantial.
Right. And then for all the success that you've had in the last 2 years or a couple of, I mean, over time, but the last, particularly like the last year or so, the company is not immune to flops. I do remember Tom Staggs being up here and giving a forecast of a significant loss. So you've had Lone Ranger, you've had John Carter, obviously not recently, yes, exactly, Heart Attack City. But, you know, how do you reduce the risk of flops in the future? What do you do to avoid that?
Well, to be honest, we know we're not immune from flops, and it's very hard to make a movie. From an idea to a script, to getting the director, to getting the cast, and to getting it all to gel is just very, very hard. But what we do believe, though, with our branded tentpole strategy, that we can reduce that risk to a certain degree. But if you look at the couple titles you mentioned, you know, Lone Ranger, for example, big star, big director, and big producer, sometimes it just doesn't come together, but our goal is to reduce those films, and fortunately, we haven't had that many of them.
And I guess, you know, given all the overhead involved in running a Hollywood major and the potential efficiencies enabled by scaling up, what is your outlook for studio consolidation?
Well, you know, there's obviously been a lot of talk about Warner's and Fox, and that didn't happen. You know, I'm not sure what the other studios are going to do. As far as it relates to us, obviously Bob Iger bought Pixar, he bought Marvel, and he bought Lucas, and those look very, very strong, particularly Pixar and Marvel. We know what we've accomplished there. And then we have very high expectations for Lucas. So I don't think there are any strategic holes at this point at the studio.
Right. So let's talk about the studio and your 2015 and 16 slate and beyond if you'd like to. But where to begin? I mean, Cinderella live action, Avengers Age of Ultron, Inside Out, Tomorrowland, Ant-Man, Star Wars 7, and that's just to name a few, so many titles. So, you know, how do you feel about the fiscal 15 and 16, given some of the success you've already had this year?
Well, I certainly feel good about it, for sure. I mean, the list of titles you just named and what we saw on the slide, we're very, very excited about. And we're just trying to focus on each and every title. And if we do that, we will have strong returns, strong margins, and strong operating income. There, obviously, as I said, there's variability from year to year, depending as they go through the windows. But, you know, we look at the long term and the long-term nature of these franchises and the value that we're creating, not only at the studio, but around the company. And we feel really good about the slate that we have.
So we had IMAX here yesterday, and we went through 15, 16, even 17 slates for the industry. What is your view of competition?
Well, there's no doubt there's some very smart executives around town and that have put together some fantastic slates. And, the good news is that, you know, we want everybody to do well. The more people go to movies, the more they want to go to movies. So competition is good. We feel very confident about our slate and what we can control and the power of our company to get our movies out there. So I think the competition is going to be strong, but I feel very comfortable with our movies.
So let's talk about the big one, Star Wars. When you release the next Star Wars, it will have been 10 years since the last live-action installment was released. What are the challenges in marketing this film to younger audiences?
Well, I think that Star Wars is a unique property, probably more unique than any other property. I think of myself as a kid going to the movie theater and many, many times to see the first engagement of Star Wars. My parents took me. The younger generation has seen it on DVD. My kids have played with Lego Star Wars when they were young. I think this title is very, very well known out there. And really the key for us is to make sure, the single most important thing is to make sure that the movie is great. And we have J.J. Abrams directing, Kathy Kennedy producing, and what we've seen so far, it looks amazing. It's hard not to get too excited about this. You know, I've got this boot on, I'm wearing my Stormtrooper tennis shoes. We are just unbelievably excited at the company to have Star Wars, and the other thing I should mention is it's not really just here. We are looking at every single country around the world because they obviously have different levels of awareness, different strategies as to how characters appeal or don't, and we're making sure we have a definite strategy for each and every country to maximize this movie because this is going to be a big global hit.
Will it have a typical P&A budget? You know, how might it differ in terms of size, but also in terms of media mix?
You know, we haven't quite figured that out yet. We're going to have obviously massive promotions. We're working on a number that will really be amazing. We'll figure out the right mix and spend. Not really concerned about awareness on this title.
Right. What does the roadmap look like with respect to future installments of Star Wars? You know, is there spin-off potential from the core franchise?
Right.
I think you guys have announced that there's...
Yeah, so obviously we've got Episode 7 coming next December 18th of 15.
Right.
December 16 of 16, we have our first standalone directed by Gareth Edwards, who directed Godzilla. And then, as Bob said, there'll be an episode eight and nine, and then we'll have some additional standalone titles. We haven't figured out the timing yet, but we're in development, and I think everybody will be very pleased with what they see.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
So moving on to Marvel, Avengers: Age of Ultron represents a key tentpole for the Marvel label, both theatrically and from a consumer products and gaming standpoint. With the first installment of Avengers doing $1.5 billion globally, what do you need to do to preserve this level of success?
It's a great day for me to be here and answer these questions. I know Avengers comes out and does $1.5 billion. It's the third biggest movie of all time. And obviously, we are laser focused on the next installment. And if you look at how we've lined things up, how Marvel's lined things up, we have Joss Whedon directing, same director as the first one. We have substantially the same cast. And we have an unbelievably talented group at Marvel, creative group led by Alan Fine, Kevin Feige, and Lou D'Esposito. And I think if you look at what they've done, it's spectacular. So that grouping of director, external talent, and then our internal talent, we feel very, very good about where the sequel is going to go. And also, if you look at Thor 2 and Cap 2, the lift they got from the first Avengers, those characters are more popular now than ever as we move into Avengers, the sequel. So we're very, very excited about next May.
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy is another solid new piece of IP. Yeah. And it was developed out of the Marvel archives. Can you, but beyond just the sequel, you greenlit the sequel before the first one was even released. What is the roadmap look like to really exploit this franchise, this new franchise?
Yeah, I know it's spectacular to have the biggest movie of the year be a essentially new characters, unknown characters, is really fantastic. And it shows the power of the characters and the power of that creative team. You know, we already have substantial merchandise. The album was number one. So we were confident enough to greenlight the sequel, as you said, before the movie even came out. So there's going to be a lot of life in that franchise.
On the Disney label, you've obviously completely re-energized that. We already talked about Frozen. So, you know, what from here, can you talk about what your strategy is to further strengthen the product pipeline?
Sure. When Bob bought Pixar back in 2006, you know, we got a fantastic library from Pixar. But in addition to that, we got a creative team in animation that, you know, is by far the best, and led by John Lasseter and Ed Catmull. And John and Ed, as you know, run Disney Animation. So they've come over, completely changed the culture, and you've seen what Tangled did, what Wreck-It Ralph did, and now Frozen. I mean, Frozen is the biggest animated movie by $200 million now. So that place has completely changed. They are more confident than ever. Alan Horn and myself and Bob Iger were there 2 weeks ago, and John and team are taking us through the next several years, and the titles look amazing. We have Big Hero 6, as you know, coming out the first week in November of this year, and the lineup that we have going forward is very, very exciting, and that studio is back.
Moving on to home entertainment, you guys have been a pioneer in home entertainment. You've had more success in home entertainment than almost any other studio. So we'd love to get your views on some of your more recent initiatives. And what are your thoughts on the early EST and premium VOD opportunities?
Well, I think on the premium VOD, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about premium VOD over the last several years, although nothing substantial has come of it. You know, from our standpoint, we're making these big branded tentpole movies. We want people to see them in a theater first. So, and then we want people to buy them. So as it relates to premium VOD for us, I don't really see any substantial changes in the next few years. The preferential window for electronic sell-through, that is something that we are doing on our bigger titles. We're trying to really jumpstart electronic purchases, and it's been effective. And we usually have a 3 or 4 week preferential window. So yes, that's something we'll continue to do.
Right. Let me ask one more question, then we'll open it up for audience questions. So just your overall outlook for home entertainment trends. You mentioned earlier, I think that digital's up 37%, but physicals
continues to decline, yeah.
So you know, from here, what do you see just for Disney specifically? I mean, you have great titles. Any comments you can make on home entertainment?
Yeah, I would say that clearly the physical business is had it difficult the last 5 or 6 years and continues to decline 8 or 10% a year. But we shouldn't lose track that it's still a very significant business. It's estimated just domestically that business retail will be about $8 billion. This year. So, and as I mentioned, we have titles that people want to buy on physical. But clearly, digital is the future, and that's why we've put a lot of effort behind Disney Movies Anywhere and a variety of other initiatives, because long term we do want people to buy our movies on the digital platforms. So I think short term, physical continues to decline, but still a very strong business.
Okay, let's see. Is there any questions? We have mics coming.
Turn around.
Thank you, Jessica. Good morning, Alan. I had two questions. From the outside, looking at Walt Disney Studios, it's quite hard to understand the management structure, the organizational structure, and the incentives. So could you just describe how, you know, what that is and how those are, and what are the incentives for the senior management as it relates to the entire enterprise, and how you see that maybe evolving over the next couple of years with the industry? And then the second topic is your international multipliers are, you know, roughly 2x right now, improving from, you know, 1 several years ago. If you look forward to, you know, 17, 18, where do you see your international multipliers potentially reaching?
Well, I think in terms of the structure at the studio and how we're compensated, you know, we have a compensation structure that the company has in place, and there are certain financial metrics that we have to hit, and there are certain other metrics that are required. So it's actually, from our standpoint, very, very straightforward. We understand what we need to do, and, you know, we're working very hard to do that. The reality of it is that we come into work every day to try to make great movies, figure out a way to market them and distribute them, and that is really what our focus is. And if we do that, the rest will take care of itself. As you were talking about the multiplier, you're probably talking about, I believe, the theatrical multiplier. Yeah, there's no question that's expanded over the last several years. And if you look at where, you know, where China's going, you know, China could be an $8 billion marketplace, you know, in the next several years. So if we make the right kind of movies that they like, then, you know, you can see that multiplier expanding. And we do believe we have the brands, and we're extremely focused on those markets.
Well, was waiting for other questions from the audience. I just want to ask you on consumer products. Obviously, the films have been a big driver for the of a lot of the. I mean, you have traditional Disney characters,
sure,
of course, but the films of all the labels have been big drivers of consumer products for the Walt Disney Company. What are you most excited about in terms of, you know, consumer products?
As it relates to our films, I mean, I would have to say that, you know, if as you look at Avengers, as you had in your question, Avengers and Star Wars. Star Wars, you know, if we can get this right, is a huge opportunity for the company, the entire company. And that's why we are so focused on getting the first, episode 7 is very critical. So there's a lot of focus on that movie, and then preparing the company to get that movie out into the world, whether it be the marketing, the distribution, the toys, apparel, the variety of things, and we certainly will be ready. But it couldn't be more exciting, Star Wars.
I think my son already bought Star Wars belts. So,
oh, it's a thing out there.
And then on Marvel, do you feel like, does each new film regenerate the products of prior films?
Well, certainly, like if you have a film like Avengers that have those other characters, and you know you're gonna, Iron Man's gonna be popular and these kind of things. So yeah, they all kind of, when their IP that plays together, it lifts all the merchandise, and they've just done a phenomenal job with that. And it's so exciting to see their lineup coming up. So,
right,
we're fortunate.
Not to mention the Disney label.
Yes.
This question here.
Given how strong the affinities are for some of the titles, do you have any interest in actually knowing the end consumer personally in terms of, you know, big data and tracking their interactions with your different titles?
Well, definitely. Having strong contact with our consumers is a good thing. to understand kind of what they like and what they don't. We obviously do a tremendous amount of research on our films, before our films, after our films, marketing of the films. In addition to that, if you look at like Disney Movies Anywhere, where we have that contact with them, we are going to gain more direct contact, more access, and learn more about our consumers. Because obviously our goal is to make, we want to make quality films, but we also want to make films that, you know, people are going to enjoy and want to see. So the more information we have, certainly the better off we'll be and the better decisions we'll make.
Again, while we're waiting. So the prospects for, you mentioned some of the downstream products like Frozen being a going to a live Broadway show. But what about the prospects for some of these films to become TV shows? Marvel already has Shield. What, are there any other?
Yeah, for, you know, let's stay on Star Wars. This happens to be our favorite topic today. If you look at what the Disney Channel and Disney XD, there's a new Rebels show that's premiering next month. And that'll be an animated series. So I think that the IP that we have, whether it be Marvel or Star Wars, lend itself to the television. If the creative is right, because obviously we have to be protective of the brand. And no matter what we do, whether it be movies, television, our toys, it has to be all about quality, and it has to be about a good experience. So if we can hit those criteria and put out movies and product and television shows that are of a high level of quality, I think it's right for it.
Right. Questions? Okay, so I'll keep going. You know, how has the emergence of SVOD competition affected demand and pricing for your product?
I would say that, you know, going back to my, I know I sound like a broken record a little bit, we're really focused on these big branded movies that we want to see, we want people to see in a theater. So that's where, and if you look at the results, that's where people are going to see them. Additionally, they're buying them. So we stick to the windows. There are certainly the theatrical window, the video window, and there's an SVOD window. We obviously have a deal. So, you know, we try to maximize the value and also at the same time give consumers a great experience. So.
And what about the television window, like the post SVOD, like how healthy is that market?
You know, it's interesting. For the movies that we're making, it's still very healthy. It's very strong, and we're doing quite well. It's just, it all comes back to those brands and the kind of movies that people, you know, want to see, I think, as that lady just, you know, just said. So we just have to stick to that.
And if we move away from Star Wars, like, are there any particular titles that you're more excited about? Or?
Well, I think, you know, well, I'm excited about all of them, so right. I'm a bit of a homer here, but, as we look at, our upcoming slate, obviously, with Big Hero 6, our next animated movie from Disney Animation, following up on Frozen, I'm very excited about that. Next March, we have Cinderella, and Cate Blanchett is in it, and she is spectacular. The look of this movie, when you see the gowns, the shoes, the chandeliers, it is spectacular, I assure you. And then obviously Avengers, and then Tomorrowland. We've got a movie called Tomorrowland directed by Brad Bird, who did The Incredibles. So we have Ant-Man, another Marvel movie coming in July. I'm honestly excited about all of them because they're these big branded movies that people want to see.
Absolutely. Okay, last chance. Any questions? There's one back there.
I'm just curious, and this is going back a little bit in history, but at the time, a lot of people were talking about Lone Ranger and John Carter. But post facto, when you look back at the monetization you could get on all the different windows, international, you know, do you think that the perception about the losses on those was greater than the actual reality, even if the box office was a disappointment, that the other monetization methods turned out, you know, maybe better than expected?
Well, I hope that's not going to be the last question to end on John Carter and Lone Ranger. But I'm going to answer that question honestly and tell you no, it didn't get that much better. We did lose that much money on those movies. You know, as I said, it's hard to make movies, and those particular two just did not come together. Interestingly enough, John Carter in Russia was a huge hit. I'll give you that anecdote. But you know, unfortunately, those movies just did not work out for us.
Oh, we just can't end on that note.
Oh, come on now. Yeah. I'll show you my shoes. You've got to get these cool Van shoes.
Yeah.
Stormtroopers on them. That's
fine. I mean, it just does. I don't even know what the question is, because it looks like you guys are ready to go to a level that no other studio has possibly achieved in the past. Would you?
Well, I think that the thing that we have is if I know you guys study all the studios and everything. If you look at the tentpoles that we're making, the number of tentpoles we're making versus other studios, I think you'll find it's dramatically different from any other studio. And then when you put behind the brands that we have, I think we're in really, really good shape. Now, obviously, we've got to make great movies. We can't rest on our laurels. We have to make fantastic movies. And I do believe, you know, in the genius of the deals that were made, that Bob, with Pixar, with Marvel, it's not just the library, it's the creative talent that came along with it. So it's John Lasseter, it's Ed Catmull, and all the fantastic directors at Pixar. And you've seen what's happened. It's not just Pixar now, it's transformed Disney Animation. And then with Marvel, it's not just the library, it's the great creative executives that came along with it. So I think that we are very well positioned in the future, but we've got to focus on the movies. No one's taking anything for granted. We don't think that a sequel's always going to do better unless we make a better movie. So everyone is striving to do just that. So, but I'm sure you can tell by my excitement. It is a very exciting place to be right now. I've been at the company for over 18 years, and there's never been a more exciting time at the studio. Because it was such fantastic stuff to work on each and every day. What we get to talk about, you know, Harrison Ford, it's amazing.
Right, but the time the acquisitions were made from Pixar, then Marvel, Star Wars, I mean, I don't know if you guys had the vision, but the international box office has grown tremendously. We did put out a report yesterday, and for your key areas, action and animation, international box office is now 2 times that of domestic, and I don't know if you foresaw that at the time of the acquisitions. Do you think that number can even, that multiply can go higher?
You know, if China and some of these other markets grow, they can grow higher. And you know, certainly we didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but I think that, you know, when you get to the fundamental, the core of what Disney is, quality and branding. When you look at the quality of Pixar, they had, before we acquired them, and since, every movie has been a hit. So that quality feature, that brand, fit perfectly with Disney. And if you look at Marvel, if you look at the titles they had and then the people that they have, really understanding those people, it was a great fit for us too. And then, you know, the crown jewel, Star Wars. I mean, we're talking about 6 films that have been made, and everyone around the world knows Star Wars. It's pretty spectacular. So it's another brand that fits perfectly the quality of these movies with the Disney brand. So, you know, we've been fortunate, but I think they were extremely smart moves.
Absolutely. There is a question here. Kendall?
Hi. I just was wondering, talking about the number of tentpole films that you have coming up and seeing that all the other studios are also trying to move towards a similar strategy, do you think there's going to be oversaturation of tentpole films in the market? And do you think people will just start going to the movies more to consume that content? Or I guess, how do you think you're going to make it so that people will come see yours instead of the other tentpole films?
No, that's a very good question. Certainly the other studios are making more tentpole movies as they see where the profit is. But competition is good. It puts more pressure on us to make better movies. And that's exactly how we think about it. So, you know, but what we also have is we have these brands. So it's the Marvel movie. It's the Star Wars movie. It's the Disney movie. It's Disney's Alice in Wonderland. It's Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean. So I think because of our brands, we have a competitive advantage. You know, back in the day, we used to make Touchstone movies, and these were more general audience movies, and we didn't have a competitive advantage. No one would say, I'm going to a Touchstone movie, and because of that, we no longer make those movies, because we're focused on areas where we have a competitive advantage, and if we make great movies, I think we're going to be in great shape.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Good seeing you.